Hi, this is Karen Rausch. I'm the Clinical Managing Editor at the American Journal of Nursing. And today we're talking with Linda Lubacki and Joanne Serra. They're nurse clinicians at Memorial Hospital in Belleville, Illinois. And we're talking about their article, The Family on Family Pet Visitation, which is one of the favorite articles of all the staff here. We're all pet owners and dog lovers, and it's a great article. So I wanted to first say thanks for taking the time to talk to us today about this. And I'm wondering, how did you get involved? What brought, you know, family pet visitation kind of to the forefront as something you really wanted to do at your facility?
Well, this is Linda. As we outlined in the article, there were observations of pets being kind of brought in, you know, incognito or in blankets or things like that. And we got together to discuss some better ways. And also, we have a practice at Memorial. It's bedside shift report, where the nurses go to the bedside to do the report with the patient. And it involves the patients to ask them, what are the most important things on your agenda today? What would you like to have happen today? What is your goal for today? What's the most important thing to you today that we can make happen? And many times, these patients who have been in the hospital for some time, maybe elderly patients who have no one at home but a pet, will verbalize that they really do miss their animal family and would like to see them. Joanne, what else?
In addition, another practice of the nurses which connects well with our theoretical framework, which is relationship-based care based on Dr. Jean Watson's theory of human caring, is that our nurses spend 5 minutes at the bedside seated having a discussion with the patient, getting to know the patient, and finding out what matters most to them, what matters most to you, which really opens up an opportunity beyond their diagnosis or illness to talk to them holistically and find out what's important. And then the pets come up often in those conversations as well.
I think that's such a great example of putting a theory to real practice. Like, you know, yes. Oftentimes you learn about the theories and people think they're kind of like out there and not something that you really practice. And so I love that idea of the ways that you really take what your theoretical model is and put it into practice and resulting in something like this. So once you decided to do this program, you went through a very structured, you used the Iowa model of evidence-based practice to promote quality care as a guide. So you really kind of had a structured way of putting this program into practice.
Absolutely. This is Joanne, and I felt like the Iowa model was instrumental in the structure for us. Following the structure was really important, you know, starting with the triggers, which we've identified already. Patients sneaking their pets in.
Right.
That's one of them. And then is it a priority for the organization? And we really did have to jump through some hoops, so to speak, in order to get consent to actually move forward with the process. And that's a very important step. I mean, we needed to have buy-in from, of course, our leaders in the nursing service department, and that went very easily.
Right.
But then you have, you know, the infection prevention world,
yeah,
and the legal world and the administration and
right,
everybody. We needed to have everybody on board and supportive of the process before we would put any time or energy into an actual literature review and forming a team. So that is really an important step, wouldn't
right
you say, Linda?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the one thing that did help us get through this a little bit easier than maybe a couple years ago is the fact that we did embrace relationship-based care as our professional practice model. Every piece of all of the components of that model led us to feel like this was something very important to do, not only for ourselves as nurses advocating for patients, but to help our colleagues, because there are benefits also from the pet visitation for staff members, but most importantly for our patients and their families, to make them feel like we're doing for them what they would do if they were able.
Uh-huh. Yeah, which is another good example, again, of the, you know, the putting into practice your model of care. And so it really was an advantage to be able to show how this was truly promoting or, yes. you know, integral to that model mm-hmm. of care. Mm-hmm. So what were some of the pushbacks you were getting from people? What were their concerns?
Well, allergies, phobias, right. Disease transmission, you know, mm-hmm. you know, there was some knowledge that, you know, zoonosis that animals could bring to the hospital, and the fear of the animals as well, picking something up from the hospital environment itself. So those were some. Infection prevention, I think, was the toughest hoop to get through.
Yeah,
it went through the other administrative type committees in the hospital pretty quickly and smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
But
medical group.
Infection prevention really wanted to review our policies, and they had discussions, and I think that was probably our biggest hurdle. But after that, it was like...
Yeah, and I think, you know, the interdisciplinary group that we had helping us as far as having a couple vets willing to help us, to support us, they helped us get through some of that infection prevention stuff, too.
Yeah.
So real interprofessional...
Yes.
Effort.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great. So once you started, you had a great response? And
well, it started kind of slow, actually. We started out by drafting a memo to explain to every department in the hospital that they might be seeing pets on leashes coming into the hospital or pets in uh-huh. carriers, and attach the policy so that they knew it was
right.
coming. We piloted, as the article states, in the ICU and the IMCU, and you know, it's kind of sporadic when pets visit.
Right.
It doesn't occur every
right.
day, but there are periods of time where it happens quite a bit. So several months passed, but we did have several pilots during that period of time that
right.
we felt like our protocol was working, and then word got out, you know, to the nurses, the other nurses on other units, and they're like, hey, you know, we want to do that.
So that too.
That's why we engaged the Nurse Practice Council and
right.
kind of moved from there.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the concept of One Health? We've actually done, well, we did one article on it, that idea of, you know, the connection between animals and humans, and that, are, you know, there's a... we really need to be considering both, whether we're veterinarians or human caregivers. But
sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you're familiar. It's really kind of like a movement. There's information on, you know, CDC and WHO about it, but we have published. But I think it is apropos to what you're doing, the idea of, bringing the animals into the hospital, what it means for the humans, what it means for the animals, because animals miss their you know, family as much or more,
yes.
as much as we miss them, so.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm excited to know about that, and I had personally have not read the One Health information, but I'll definitely look at that. I agree with Linda that through our literature review, it was very clear to us the impact of the human-animal interaction. The studies that were out there that we looked at were small studies, but at the same time, I thought the results were enough to convince us that it was a positive thing to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So how did your visits go when you first started doing them?
Well, you know, that's where we learned a few things in during that pilot and the initial visits. We learned, one of the big things that we learned was on our pet shop, which was a really cool idea,
yeah.
I thought, like an internet site on the nursing website.
Mm-hmm.
All of our documents were separate. So, like, if you looked at what you had to do for a pet visit, you had to have a nurse's checklist, a physician health certificate, a consent form, a roommate consent form. There were several documents that were required, the pet visit in progress sign that
right.
goes on the door.
Mm.
So as a result of the pilot, some of the nurses said that was confusing for us to have to go into so many different documents and print this and print that. Could you just create a pet packet, which includes all of those documents in a one print one-stop printing kind of thing.
Right.
And I think that really kind of smoothed the process for us in the beginning.
Really, yeah, I would think that would be a big help because added documentation is like that's the worst thing any nurse can hear.
You know, the staff, though, is they I think, experienced
very good
joy when the pets came in. And, you know, we have to limit the visit to just the patient, you know, in the room, and but everybody wants to interact with those animals.
Right.
And they get people smile, and it's surprising.
Yeah, and I think the nurses found that it wasn't any more of a time issue for them.
Right.
In caring for the patient, and I think that the rewards and the benefits of seeing the patients react to their pets made up for any of the time.
Right. Yeah, and I would think even the nurses would. I have a dog, and I'm a pet, you know, lover. So, but they're so soothing, and you're when you say joy, I mean it does it. You know, just to see people react to animals in that way, I think it's helpful to everybody.
Right.
I remember one of the first visits after the pilot that was up on the oncology floor. And it was a woman who was in a hospice scenario, and I remember when the animal visited with her, she said to her daughter, I'm okay now. I've seen my baby. I can go.
Oh, my goodness.
It was like a part of closure for her.
Right.
It makes you emotional a little bit when you think about that, but you know, when you hear that kind of thing and the therapeutic benefit of the gentleman in the article who hadn't tried to speak until the cat came.
Right.
And even though his speech was garbled, he was trying to...
But he was trying.
Yeah.
And these aren't small things. These are huge things, you know, life-changing.
Yeah.
So big.
And that's the essence of nursing, too.
Right.
When you can see the whole patient and advocate for them.
To provide more than just the nursing skills and tasks. Mm-hmm. They're going to the psychological, the emotional, the mental, the whole piece of that patient you're treating. It's just such a privilege to be able to
absolutely
like this.
Right. And it just is so rewarding for the nurses. I mean, it just for us to be able to, you know, facilitate that and be a part of that and know that you've, you know, made such a difference.
I think, too, that it also gives the family a feeling that they have done something.
Yeah. Yeah, especially in cases where there's so little that you feel you can do.
Helpless feeling.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it provides them with some control over what they can do to make mom or dad or whoever it might be, to give them a little bit extra, something that maybe they didn't know they could do for them.
Right.
It's and a wonderful
meaningful.
Nursing intervention. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. We've been getting some, people love the pet visitation, and now they want to bring the therapy dog program into the
house. Oh, I was going to ask you if you had done that before, so you did not have a therapy dog program.
No, they were on the plate in the beginning, but we wanted to just pick one piece and with our theoretical framework that the family pet, you know, what matters most to the patient and family central focus.
Yep.
And that fit the best, but now our director of the auxiliary and a social worker on one of our clinical units have contacted our team and are interested in doing pet therapy. And so we're back at the beginning of the Iowa model again. Is this a priority for the organization? So,
Any challenges or what that have come along with the program or, you know, when the actual visits and...
No, really, I don't think that we've had any negative issues or any problems. All the animals have been well-behaved. Mm-hmm. We haven't had any problems with staff members as far as allergies or ER visits for any reason. So far, smooth. I think the worst part was getting it off the ground in the beginning and understanding what we needed to jump through. But, I don't think so, Joanne.
I don't think so. I think the hardest parts, again, were getting all those pieces into the packet. And after that, I mean, you know, you have to get a veterinarian-signed health certificate, which could be a hurdle for mm-hmm. some patients, you know, if they can't get to the veterinarian. But we've even set it up so that we can accept a faxed mm-hmm. veterinarian health certificate. We can fax one to them. They can fax it to us. And so I think that's kind of smoothed yeah. some mm-hmm. of the wrinkles there, but that's really all I've heard.
Oh, and haven't the vets even asked for some of our pamphlets so that they can...
It's true. The veterinarian's office have requested our brochure, right, to have available in their office.
When patients come in, are they made aware of the program, or is it something that's offered to them if they express a desire to see their pets?
It's more the later than the former. Mm-hmm. I would say that it comes up in conversations when we operationalize the principles of relationship-based care. That's when it comes out, 5 minutes at the bedside or during bedside shift report. And word of mouth, to be truthful, you know, in the community I hear patients, I heard that pets can visit there. And, yeah, sometimes you hear about it there.
How large is your hospital?
How what?
How large is the hospital?
Right now we're a 316-bed acute care community hospital.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so it's a good-sized hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to add? It's such a great program. When we were talking about this, so many nurses have, at one time or another, I know I worked oncology and we snuck in a few pets years ago for people. I don't think, right. We all can tell that story, I think. And so it's so wonderful that it's, become a policy.
We're thrilled that we have this opportunity to bring our practice to AJN. We thank you for all your help and the patience it took. This was my first publication.
Yeah,
so it was... a learning experience for us, too. And so here we go. Let's see what happens next.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're happy to be able to get this out there. I think it's...
Humbled.
I'm sorry, what?
I said that we're just honored and humbled by this opportunity to share.
Well, this is, again, a great program. And I think the way that you went about it, one of the reasons you probably haven't had challenges is because the systematic and... your approach to it, so it did go smoothly and has really been a great program. So, yes, we're very happy to have it and get it out there for people to read about and hopefully try to do the same thing in their facilities.
That would be wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, we'd love to hear back from some of
that. That would be an outcome to be happy with.
Yeah, that would be an outcome of the program. Yeah. Absolutely.
Great.
Okay, so we'll let anybody listening who does try to or does replicate this in their facility, let the authors know about it. And
absolutely.
We'll have the little dogs and cats everywhere and lots of smiling patients.
With leashes and little colored.
We love our little pet scarves and leashes. They're so cute.
It's such a feel-good,
Yes.
Program. It really is.
Very.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today, and good luck as
all
you continue.
All right. We thank you.
You're
happy
welcome.
Happy holidays, and enjoy your family, and be good to each other.
All right.